This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And we've got Chapter 8 of Vatican Ambassador on the way on this episode. BC has been summoned to Vatican City. He's supposed to meet with the new Pope, Pope Linus, who wants to know a little bit more about BC's recent activities, like meeting with the UTZ Council. And what he's been up to as acting Vatican ambassador on Lunar Prime. So we're going to be landing in Rome with BC as we get into Chapter 8 of Vatican Ambassador coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. A big thank you to my patrons who help support this podcast. I could not do it without you, so thank you once again. And if you'd like to become a patron and help support Glow in the Dark Radio, you can do so at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, MikeLuoma.com, and click the link for Patreon. Patreon has it set up so you can become a member of Glow in the Dark Radio and make a monthly donation. You pledge $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month, and help support the podcast. And I try to give patrons stuff early. Like, patrons already have been listening to this episode. They got this episode early. And you could too, if you're a patron. So again, to become a patron, you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, and you can find out more there. In book news, there's only a couple of days left in the Smashwords summer-winter sale. So, you know, actually, if you're listening to this later in the week in August, it's too late. You're too late. It only goes through July 31st. Your chance to save on ebooks throughout their site, but specifically, you can save on my two big ebooks, the two collections. There's the Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus, which is everything I've written on Alibi Jones under one cover. And that is $2.49 this month, half price. Usually $4.99. Same is true for the Vatican Assassin Trilogy, all three books under one cover. And that, again, $4.99 usually, $2.49 during this month of July, during the Smashwords Summer-Winter Sale. They call it that because, of course, it's going on in the Southern Hemisphere as well as the Northern Hemisphere, so it's winter there. That's happening at smashwords.com. You can just go there and look for Vatican Assassin or Alibi Jones or me, Mike Luoma. Or you can just click the link that's in the show notes. All right, up next, we've got Chapter 8 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's Chapter 8 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
BC lands in Rome. The city suffered mightily in the UIN attacks, but it still stands. It's a Rome that's been blasted, but it is a Rome trying to rebuild itself as well. The UIN were merciless in their bombardment of the Vatican and its host city. The ancient ruins of the West drew no respect from a Muslim nation still mourning the loss of Mecca. As BC approaches St. Peter's Square, he notices many of the grand old buildings of Vatican City have been reduced to rubble. Buildings standing since the earliest days of Vatican City stand no more.
Seems each time I come back, there's less to come back to.
There's a new building just off the square, new papal offices for the new pope. The building also houses new, temporary Vatican lodgings. The Domus Sancte Marte still stands, but is under reconstruction.
The new building. Can't miss it. Right where they said it would be.
He walks across the square to the building, a no-nonsense, boxy block of metal and glass.
Looks temporary. None of the grandeur of the old places. Strictly functional, utilitarian. At least it's not Unitarian. A joke? Trying to make myself less nervous by telling myself bad jokes? That's healthy.
He makes his way inside the new building.
Seems too metallic a place to see the Pope. Needs more wood. Even Stanzione's fake wood would help.
The building's lobby is buzzing with activity, full of people coming and going, presumably on papal business. BC makes his way through the crowd and finds a central information kiosk. He gets in line at the kiosk's counter.
Place looks like a fucking corporation, not a church. And here I am, waltzing in to see the CEO. Everything's different. At least there are real live people working at the kiosk. What? Should I just walk up and say, "Pope, please"?
"Hello," BC says to the attendant at the kiosk counter.
"Hello, Father Campion,"
the matronly old woman says to him.
"We're expecting you. Here," she says, sliding an ID card to BC across the counter. "See the arrow on the card?"
BC sees a blinking green arrow on the card's surface, nods.
"Follow it," she tells him. "Start by taking that solo elevator over there."
She points across the lobby to a door isolated by itself in the wall to the right. A guard stands to either side of the door.
"Show those guards your card, then slide it into the slot next to the door. That will call the elevator. When it comes, simply get in. It will take you to the proper floor on its own. Follow the arrow on the card after you exit the elevator," she finishes. Then she smiles. "Have a nice day."
"Yeah, thanks," BC answers.
"They've adopted heavy security here as well. Makes sense. Betcha they're actively scanning everyone in the building."
BC follows the card and his instructions. He rides the small elevator up to what feels like the fourth and top floor. After leaving the claustrophobic space of the small solo elevator, he follows the direction of the green arrow as it turns on the card like a compass. BC walks along plain corridors.
"Could be any office building anywhere. Creepy. Sterile. Hold on, this is different."
BC's path has led him to a heavy wooden door.
I think I recognize that door. That was the door to the Pope's office back in the old building. Must have salvaged it from the rubble. Looks like some burn marks there."
"Go ahead in, Father,"
a voice says out of nowhere. BC starts. He hadn't noticed a small desk just to the right of the door. A small bird-like man in vestments is perched behind it.
"Thank you," BC says as he nods to him.
BC reaches out, opens the heavy door, and walks through into a modern-looking office.
"Has less personality than Wentworth's office back on his station. There he is, Cardinal Giuseppe, Pope Linus now."
You must be Campion. Come in,
Pope Linus says, from his throne, behind a giant metallic desk. Pope Linus is a large Italian man in his late 60s, silver-gray hair escaping from beneath his pontifical headgear. He wears the traditional white papal vestments with a gold and red stole draped around his neck. His bushy gray eyebrows rise up over the rim of the papal mitre when he speaks, his sharp brown eyes beneath them assessing BC as he enters. BC closes the heavy door behind him. He walks over to a chair in front of the giant metallic desk.
He's old school. Is he going to hold out his hand so I can kiss his ring? Should I walk around the desk? Don't really want to. Good, he's sitting back down.
Pope Linus waves his hand.
Please, sit.
Thank you, BC says, sitting down. I'm glad we finally have a chance to meet and speak together, Your Eminence. BC puts a little too much emphasis on finally.
All the deference and respect I can muster.
Please understand our lack of communication, the Pope says, getting right to it. We've been trying to rebuild, as you can see.
The Pope looks around the room, and then back at BC.
We've also been rethinking, reevaluating, and reformulating the Vatican stance, the position of the NCC, as regards the ongoing war, and the OPO,
he says, leveling his gaze at BC.
Here it comes.
The OPO has become ineffective, BC.
Pope Linus proclaims his judgment.
That is okay, actually,
Linus says, looking away.
We won't need all of that PR if we aren't getting involved in so many messes now, will we?
What are you saying? BC asks him. Are you getting rid of the OPO? BC begins to protest. I don't know, sir. Pope Peter found the OPO to be pretty useful.
Pope Peter is dead, Linus says bluntly, deflating BC. We must move on. Change with the times. Adapt. That's what the NCC is all about, isn't it? The church has learned to change.
My bullshit detector is going off big time. He's talking about bigger things. More than just the OPO. This isn't good.
We need peace, Father Campion, Linus says. Pope Peter's policies embroiled us deeply in the war, pulled the church headlong into the conflict.
Linus turns in his chair. He gestures at the window behind him, out at the rubble and ruins.
His policies caused us to be attacked by the UIN, leaving us like this. So much destroyed. Ultimately, Pope Peter brought this destruction down on himself.
Linus pauses for effect.
And on the rest of us as well.
I see, BC says.
No, I don't. Not really. But I'll play along for now, see where this goes.
The OPO may no longer be useful, Linus says. He looks BC in the eye. But you are, Father. You've done a great job rebuilding our mission on the moon. You are to be commended. I wanted to see you in person to let you know I'm considering making you our permanent ambassador.
Really? BC says, surprised.
I hear a but coming.
But I have a test for you first, Campion, to see if you're fit to be our full ambassador,
Pope Linus tells him. A test?
What the fuck?
Yes, the Pope says. A test of your abilities as a diplomat, as an ambassador.
Linus gives him a serious stare.
And as a man of peace. Are you up to it?
I guess so,
BC says. I hope so. I suppose that depends on what it is, sir, BC hedges. Pope Linus gets up off his throne and walks around the desk to stand next to BC in his chair.
So he can look down on me. One of Wentworth's favorite power tactics. So transparent.
Linus attempts to tower over him as he sets out his test for BC.
I want you to head a peace conference, the Pope says, on the moon. Sometime in October would be good. Invite all the warring parties and see if we can end this conflict.
What?
With all due respect, Your Holiness, how can we broker the peace? BC protests. The UIN attacked us when they attacked the UTZ. They lump us together with them. Why would they believe we want to broker the peace?
That's why we have the peace conference in October. It gives us time to prove our new neutrality,
Pope Linus reassures him.
Neutrality?
BC can't stop himself. Neutrality? He asks Linus, incredulous.
Yes, neutrality, Linus says, obviously enjoying the sound of the word. It is not yet public knowledge, but I will soon declare the new Catholic Church neutral in the war between the UIN and the UTZ.
Linus's air of self-satisfaction is unmistakable. He nearly lectures BC.
This war should not be a religious war, Father Campion. The new Catholic Church is not about war. We follow Jesus. We're about peace. Or we're supposed to be, aren't we?
Good argument. Valid points, all of them. So why don't I think he believes any of this? He only talked about the OPO and PR earlier. Does he know for sure what else we did? There's no way. What? Does he expect me to believe he's that naive?
Father Campion,
Linus prompts BC when he doesn't answer.
Aren't we supposed to be the peacemakers?
Yeah, well, sure, I mean, it's just that I didn't, well... BC tries not to answer.
I see you're surprised. Why should peace surprise you, Father?
I guess I've grown used to war, Your Holiness. Linus shakes his head.
You know, I can understand that. But it's time to get unused to it. We need to forge a new peace, Father. And you're in an advantageous position to be one of the architects of that new peace, if you're up to the challenge. Or should I appoint a new acting ambassador?
Linus asks him provocatively.
No need to, sir. I can do this, BC says. I am surprised at our change of allegiance.
Linus looks at him, and then circles back around behind the desk to sit down before he answers, as if considering his words carefully. He looks up, looks BC in the eye.
We are not changing allegiances, merely disentangling the church from an odious one. The UTZ is no friend to the church, BC. The UTZ has only used us. I worry that you are too close to them to see this,
Linus says. He shakes his head ever so slightly.
Too close to them? How much does he know? What to say?
The UTZ seems to want our alliance, BC says. The UTZ Council called me in to meet with them so they could ask me why you hadn't been in touch, sir. All I could tell them was that I didn't know. BC tries to make it clear to Pope Linus he hasn't told the council anything. They wouldn't have reached out to me had you been in communication with them yourself, Your Holiness, with all due respect.
Why is it when people finish a sentence with that phrase, with all due respect, they're usually implying that no respect is really due at all? Rhetorical question.
Pope Linus prods him.
You didn't get in touch, and I was nearby and handy. They practically abducted me, BC protests.
Yes, I heard.
So you know, BC says, I'm no friend of theirs. If I was, I wouldn't be here telling you they've asked me to spy for them, to spy on you.
Throwing the doggy a bone.
All of a sudden, Linus is all ears, leaning towards BC across the desk.
Oh, really?
Feel the love.
What did you say? What did you tell them you'd do?
Linus asks.
I told them I would, of course, BC answers, purposely cryptic.
You did?
Linus tries to puzzle it out.
But you won't, will you?
I'll tell them whatever they should know, BC says. Whatever we think they should know.
Linus relaxes.
Of course, by we, I mean me and the mouse here in my pocket.
I owe them no allegiance, Your Holiness, BC reassures him.
Just as I owe you nothing, Your Holiness.
Linus's brow furrows.
So, why then were you surprised that the church would end such an allegiance?
It was a pleasant surprise, I assure you, Your Holiness, BC explains. It seems uncharacteristically authentic, you see.
Quite a mouthful there, Father,
Linus challenges him.
Is that a compliment or an insult?
A compliment, sir. Please don't take it otherwise.
Can't really tell where this guy stands yet, or if he believes me.
So, am I to understand that you'll tell the UTZ Council whatever you think they need to know?
Linus asks, showing more depth. BC picks up on the disclosure.
He got that.
I'll tell them what they need to know, and I'll do the same for you, sir, BC tells him.
Linus leans back, eyebrows rising, noticeably taken aback by BC's sudden impudence. He leans forward again for emphasis.
Where do your alliances and allegiances lay, Father Campion?
Linus asks BC directly, eye to eye, over the desk.
With those I trust, sir, BC says. Only with those I know I can trust.
Do you think you can trust me?
I don't know, BC answers honestly. I don't know you well enough yet to go either way.
But I am your pope, Linus proclaims.
Oh, that's going to get you far with me, BC says, half under his breath.
What?
Linus demands. Are you really my pope? BC goes on the offensive. How can I be sure? What really happened to Pope Peter?
He was killed in the attacks. You heard the news,
Linus insists.
He's lying. Peter was dead before the attacks began. Now I know at least one thing about him. He lies.
I heard the news, BC says. Honestly, I didn't believe the news. I've learned not to believe much of anything, actually.
You don't sound much like a man of faith, Father,
Linus observes.
There are some things I do believe in, sir, BC counters. Linus looks him up and down. Assessing.
Who are you, Father? Who are you really?
I'm your man on the moon, Your Holiness, BC demurs.
So you say, Linus nods. But I think how much you actually are our man very much remains to be seen. You seem to be nobody's man. I guess that will have to do for now.
He changes the subject.
Do you think you can handle the peace conference?
We shall see, won't we? I give you my word. I will apply myself to the cause and do my best to make it happen, BC promises. Who doesn't want peace?
Well, who doesn't want peace, indeed, Linus agrees.
Actually, think about that for a second, BC says, pausing. What about the UIN? Do they really want peace?
Do they want things to stay the way they are now? Them all cooped up on Mars? Us ranging all over the moon and Earth and in orbit? I don't think they want peace unless they get the Earth back in the bargain, BC contends. I don't think we want to make that deal.
But even they can't want more of their people to die, Linus protests.
They can, they do, BC tells him. Some of them see it as the whole martyrdom thing, evidently. That's why we saw those kamikaze attacks. Linus laughs at a funny thought.
Japanese Muslims, father.
BC is not amused. Actually, in all seriousness, the Muslims are using leftover Japanese tech, Your Holiness, he says soberly.
I see, Linus says.
He frowns. I'll try to broker a peace, BC says. I'll attempt to set up this peace conference, but I don't think the UIN is going to settle for anything less than the return of control of the Earth. BC shakes his head. The UTZ won't agree to that, nor should they. I don't know how much hope we should hold out for a peaceful solution.
You're a realist, Linus says. That's fine. Probably better than being an optimist.
Linus stands up behind his desk.
So, make the conference happen. I'll make you permanent full ambassador. That's our bargain. Deal?
Linus extends his hand. BC stands, reaches out, and shakes the Pope's hand. Deal, he agrees.
Well then.
Pope Linus looks down at the papers on his desk. BC feels the Pope's attention shift away entirely. An almost palpable thing, like a light switching off. Linus dismisses him almost offhandedly.
Stay in touch, then. Get the ball rolling on the conference,
Pope Linus says. He sits back down.
Good day, Father.
Good day, Your Holiness, BC says. He turns to leave. Linus looks up one last time.
Thank you for responding to our call, Father Campion.
You're welcome, BC says. Linus is already staring back down at his papers. He doesn't look up again.
Weird dude. I'll leave then, I guess. What is his angle? Who is he working for? Working with? I'd almost find him authentic if it weren't for Mbeke's warning.
Questions preoccupy BC's mind as he makes his way out of the Pope's offices. As he heads back to the Rome Air and Spaceport, his mind is buzzing with questions.
Where is Mbeke? No sign of him at the Vatican during my brief visit. No outward sign of the OPO anywhere, actually. So either we're completely underground, or we just don't exist anymore. Another papal coup? Who put Giuseppe in place then, and why? Traditionalists? The Curia? The old Roman Catholics? Pope Peter never garnered their favor, not with the way he flaunted so many traditions. The way Linus talked about the UTZ, it can't be them. No, not the UTZ, certainly, unless they're playing an incredibly complex game. And playing me with it? Nah, a conspiracy like that would have to be awfully complex to actually work. And the folks involved would have to be a hell of a lot smarter. Is Pope Linus really so in the dark on the OPO's true function? Or was he just playing me?
BC boards the transport for the trip back to Lunar Prime and settles in. His thoughts turn to the moon.
Back to Lunar Prime, back home. Still feels like I'm going home, despite our new governor, Daniel McIntyre. Wonder how the NCC's new neutrality will play with him. What will he think of the Pope's peace plan and conference? Probably won't buy a word of it, knowing him. I'll be nice. Try not to punch him again, either. Try not to clench my teeth as I ask him politely and diplomatically if I can hold a peace conference on the moon at Lunar Prime. See what happens.
BC lands on the moon and makes his way back to the Vatican mission, making plans to send out invitations and inquiries, and trying to figure out how he'll reason with Daniel McIntyre. At first, McIntyre stalls BC by putting off any meeting with him. BC jumps through all the proper diplomatic hoops to schedule an open public meeting. He officially and publicly petitions McIntyre for an audience, ambassador to governor. To try to spike the man's curiosity, BC includes in the petition references to discussing the new neutrality of the new Catholic Church and possible ideas for peace. But McIntyre says he's got too much on his schedule, can't fit BC in at this time. BC repeats his official requests. After a week of delays, McIntyre finally agrees to a public meeting, at which BC asks the governor politely and diplomatically if he'll agree to let BC host a peace conference on the moon at Lunar Prime in mid-October. BC makes a strong case, outlining the parties he wants to involve and presenting the NCC's intention of declaring neutrality. When McIntyre discovers BC has reached out to UIN leader Ibn al-Salid and has invited him to join in the potential peace conference, McIntyre begins to treat BC almost civilly. BC is pleasantly surprised as McIntyre agrees to the conference with little protest. McIntyre seems surprised himself by the newly neutral NCC. He shakes BC's hand at the end of the meeting, the first nonviolent physical contact ever between BC and McIntyre. Maybe there's reason to hope. The new Catholic Church officially announces its neutrality in June. Pope Linus also promises some groundbreaking overtures toward the UIN at the coming peace conference. July, August, and September pass quietly as the parties confirm their intention to participate in the conference. The UIN will send a delegation. BC keeps his distance from the UTZ Council over the summer, but the UTZ agrees to send representatives in October. McIntyre agrees to involve the Lunar government. Peace holds through the summer, as the upcoming peace conference lets people imagine there's a chance for ending the war, maybe even a chance at a lasting peace. There is great anticipation for the conference by the time October finally arrives.
That was Chapter 8 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. Wow, Linus tasking BC with setting up and running a peace conference, which we're going to get into in our next episode. And Linus deciding that the new Catholic Church, the NCC, is going to be neutral. Some big news for BC on that visit. Change in the air. And BC still can't be sure that Linus actually knew what the OPO was really for. He's not talking about any of that stuff. Maybe he's just pretending it wasn't there and it'll go away. I don't know. But yeah, BC has to step up as Vatican ambassador now. The peace conference begins on our next episode. That'll be in part one of chapter 9. Coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Again, just a couple days left in the Smashwords Summer Winter Sale. If you're listening to this in August, the later part of the week, you're too late. It's only through July 31st. Your chance to save on ebooks, including the Vatican Assassin Trilogy under one cover and the Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus, all of Alibi's stuff under one cover. Both of them usually $4.99. They are just $2.49 during this month of July at the Smashwords Summer Winter Sale. So just head to Smashwords and search on my name or the titles, or just click on the link in the show notes. And a big thank you to my patrons. Patrons help me keep this podcast going. And you can do that too if you'd like, for $2 a month. $5 a month or 10 bucks a month. And the place to sign up for that is patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. You can also follow the links from glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. Well, that is all for this week. Again, we've got part one of chapter 9 on our next episode coming up. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.